All right, and we are back. Please enjoy the final segment of my three-part conversation with musician and professional songwriter Zach Heckendorf. Our last segment is titled Finding an Identity Through Storytelling as a Kid and Harry Potter. Please enjoy. I had a creative and emotional explosion the other night, not with respect to music per se.
Okay.
But I went into a place mentally that made me think about the purity of childhood, definitely, and the fact that when we're younger, there's less anxiety around being productive, producing art, or, you know, accomplishing these big tasks that are important to adults, right? Whether it's business, family, personal side, your soul, right? Getting yourself out into the world. Mm-hmm. I had a big moment. Something triggered it.
Okay.
I may have hinted at this before, but I watched the first Harry Potter movie again.
Yeah.
For the first time in probably 10 years.
Nice.
Right? And then watched the second one and third one, fourth one, and so on.
Yeah.
And it sounds cheesy, but the magic in those films brought me to a place where I remembered the magic of being a kid in those certain ages.
Yeah.
Right? And what I remembered about being a kid, and I think these movies triggered it, right, is I wanted as a kid, I loved the story of something like that because it inspired me to travel, to meet people from another part of the world.
Yeah.
Right? Because watching those movies somewhat in a different culture makes you immensely fascinated, right, in their reality in a sense.
Are you talking about because they're British
in
the film?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, just that. Yeah. Not necessarily any of the fantasy components, but just as a kid, the first thing that you love that you're presented with is of another culture.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's sort of this general instinctual feeling that, oh, there are other people out there that speak differently, that talk differently, they laugh differently, right? They live differently.
Yeah.
They live in different places.
Yeah.
So that was one thing. And I remembered, oh my God, look, all of these life lessons that I picked up from these films and books. And this is not unique to Harry Potter, but it was a pattern that I had not realized the dramatic effect that those movies and characters had on me as a kid. To present somebody young, 8, 9, 10 years old, with themes such as the courage to do the right thing with impending physical or emotional harm or stress that you might encounter. Right? What else? The value of finding close, long-term friends and keeping them close. And
loyalty.
Yeah. And being able to confide in them for anything.
Yeah.
The value of understanding and listening to your elders and being able to gather experiences without having had to go through them yourself.
Beautiful.
Right?
Beautiful.
All of these things that didn't really rear their head for 10 years, maybe after seeing that, right? Maybe around 18, 19, 20, when you're on your own a bit more and you're forced to now deal with, there's no sheltering anymore. Yeah. There's no parents, right?
Yeah.
There's so much more of just the values that you've internalized over the last decade, right?
Yeah.
And anyway, it sparked a lot of creativity again too, because I remember thinking as a kid, you know, seeing that, oh, I'd like to work on a movie set, or I'd like to write a story like this, just the story on the train. I'd just like to be an author and write it on a piece of paper. And I remember, you know, thinking I could do any of this. I could do all of it. I should go learn about it. I should, you know, meet people that have done these things, right? And for me, it was a very powerful feeling. It was, have I lost this sense of I could go do X, Y, and Z, right? I could go learn about this. I could change my path completely, right? And go do this for a few years.
Yeah.
And it sort of yeah, it excited me again because I had remembered there are stories waiting for you. There are new experiences with these themes that you've now held your whole life.
Yeah.
And that sometimes we just forget completely that at any moment, if we really wanted to, we could 180 turn and do something completely different, right? And engage with those feelings that we've had in our DNA now for 20 years or 30 years or whatever, you know? Like, these are deep themes that I think if you block them for years and years and just ignore all of the ideals that you used to hold on to as a child, you lose a sense of yourself, you know? So that was my experience. It was very wonderful. It made me happy again. And I also remembered the first love I had for Emma Watson was strong at the time. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade.
Still is for me, bro. She's an amazing woman.
Yeah. So that was mine. I was wondering if you, in the last few years, have had anything that has made you remember who you are, perhaps even beyond the world of music, right? If you were to just vacuum suck that away, right?
Yeah.
And say, well, there are other parts of my identity, right?
Yeah.
What are those things that have made you think about that? And then what is it about yourself that you remembered or felt reinvigorated by, right? That's perhaps been shoved aside by the identity that you hold now.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things. I think I'm very deep, you know, we were talking about this earlier, but I'm very deep into the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just my Judaism. That's not just that I study other religions. I get into a lot of it. And one of the things I'm constantly working with, I call them guides. I'm always talking to someone, like sometimes weekly, about my spiritual journey. And like
these are people, or are they people. You're praying? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. No. Humans. No. And this one lady I've been working with all year, really amazing. She's a vocal coach, but she's way more than that. She does a lot of using your voice for purpose. Like, this thing is so sacred. This voice, it's like she views the voice as this sacred gift that you have a responsibility to use.
Okay.
And one of the things that she was talking about with me is kind of going to what you're saying is like, this is all play. We're playing.
Yeah.
That's what this is, man. I don't care what industry you're in. We are playing. We have an opportunity here on earth to play.
Yeah.
We have an opportunity to build. And there's, you know, there's morals, and we need some boundaries for that play and all that stuff, whatever. But in general, we're here to play. We're here to build with our blocks and go. And I really believe that. And I don't think it goes away. I think I know it doesn't for me. So for me, the things that reignite those feelings of like the wonder of childhood, I mean, I'd say in many ways it hasn't left me, maybe because I've been so connected to our art stuff. But even then, I don't know. I lost it for a period. So I would say for me, it's books. There's like certain thinkers, certain books that will like, I mean, I have such a deep sense of wonder in some books that I'm reading, where it's like I feel kind of like, I don't know, that I'm looking at an open frontier. Mm. It's like limitless. That's the feeling that some books give me.
Yeah, that's what Harry Potter gave me, right?
Exactly.
Like, anything is possible
in
this world. And some of that drips into your being, and you start to believe anything is possible for you too.
The other thing that has helped me with reawaken that is psychedelic drugs.
Yeah, interesting.
And so I am a full believer in all of that stuff. Some people that know me well think I, you know, talk about it too much, but I really believe in it all comes down to you. You don't need them. No one needs them. No one needs them. But they really do. I've seen it so many times with so many people, with myself. It really does like wake you up and be like, holy shit. Like, I forgot about this part of myself.
Yeah.
I love this part of myself. This part of myself rocks. Why don't I use this more often? And then yeah. you start in the period after, you like use that part of yourself more often. And so I think that's, man, the psychedelic thing, I think it's so misunderstood, but it's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
I've seen grown men crying in front of me because something like that is reawakened in them.
Yeah. We really tend to forget the childlike spirit, I think, that we were so familiar with for years and years and years and years, right?
And what you're saying, that thing of like, it's like that what Harry Potter gave you, this like sense that anything's possible. I truly believe that that is the truth.
That seeps into your being? Is that what you're saying? That
No, that statement that like, we really are the creators here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that whole idea of play is. We're playing. We're here on earth to play and to build. And we are the creators. Like that's, I think we have the divine spark.
Hmm.
Whether we are the divine or the divine's flowing through us, you can have that argument.
Sure.
But that's what I believe.
Hmm.
I believe like we are creators, you know?
Do you, in a way, I mean, obviously there are many Harry Potter fans out there, right? That's just one story and one movement that inspired a lot of people.
Yeah.
But, and there are others, right? A good story culturally or art in a way.
Myth.
Yeah. Moves people, right? I mean, perhaps we as people seek out the works and the stories and the emotions that make us feel as if anything is possible, right? That bring out the creator in us, you know, because we've seen what someone else can build and create, and
yeah.
we are
yeah.
in awe.
Yeah.
And we're also entrenched in the actual story.
Yeah.
And are moved as I don't know. I think there's way, yeah, I think there's far less distinction than we realize.
Uh-huh.
That we become characters in the things that we consume, right?
Yes.
What is the throwaway? There's a great quote by, I can't remember the name of the author, right? But it is, we are who we pretend to be.
Kurt Vonnegut.
Yeah, Kurt Vonnegut. There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
Right? That was just a quote, right? Just throwaway quote from a book. And but I saw it once, right? And I thought, you know, that is in a sense, there's less distinction than we realize. Our identities are more fluid than we realize, and they're deeply influenced by fictional things that we start to believe we are the character, or we are with the characters.
Yes.
Or we want so badly to experience what we read about or what we consume, or the artist, the musician. We start to become the very thing that is moving us.
I think that's true.
You know?
I think that's
the wall.
Yeah.
Goes away, and we attach our identity to things that make us feel like the creator too.
Yeah, and you know what? One of the things that's been coming up a lot in talks I've been having with people is this idea of like, okay, so we are the creator, which means we have the choice.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the creator, you have choice in the matter. And when I say creator, I don't mean God. I just mean like we create. We're humans. Mm-hmm. We get to create things. But we have a choice in that matter. That's why the Vonnegut thing holds power. We get to choose who we pretend to be.
Yeah.
Or we get to choose to like search out, well, what is most honest and resonant to Thomas? What's most honest and resonant to Zach Heckendorf? That interests me even more than trying to figure out, well, what mask do I want to put on? Like I love Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
He's like one of my all-time heroes. I don't even know if I want to become Jay-Z. Like, and maybe there's some things about his life that I'd love to emulate for sure. But But I'm more interested in choosing to be Zach Heckendorf, even though, and that is fluid, but there's some qualities to that, to who that essence is that I am narrowing in on.
Yeah. Well, I like the quote so much because it almost speaks to this unmoving permanent self, right? Yeah. That exists. And then the self, is there any substance to the self on its own, or is our identity simply what we attach ourselves to, right? Is there an inherent identity for you, or is your identity solely based on where your attention, emotion, and desire goes?
I think there's real truth to that. Yeah.
It brings me back to, you know, many philosophy classes when I was younger, right? I mean, this gets into far more existentialism and stuff, right?
Yeah.
But the inherent self, there's a lot of different views on that from a lot of different philosophers. But I do think that people are moved at times by art because they wish to escape many, many things about themselves that they see in the artist or the story or the lyrics or the life that is painted by another.
Mm.
And, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that, yeah, it offers. I think what's happening is it's resonating with, this is, I'm a big Jordan Peterson fan, but this is kind of his, one of his talking points is that if something resonates very, very deeply, there's probably something true about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I would view what you're experiencing with Harry Potter. That movie was that resonant because J.K. Rowling's formulation of the story, the characters, the feelings, the messages, the values cooked into it. There's something true in a real sense.
Mm.
And truth resonates. No matter who's saying it. It's why you can tell if someone's BSing. You can just tell.
Yeah.
If someone's telling you the truth, you can just tell.
Yeah.
For the most part, right? Sometimes you get fooled.
I'm fascinated by why people like me particularly draw so much more emotional value from something like that than others, right? Why certain stories resonate. Like, what is it about my life at the time and now that caused me to be so enthralled with the characters, the lessons, the possibilities, right? The things that I then drew into my own life. What is it about the way that was communicated to me or the way I consumed it that elicited that reaction compared to other folks, right?
Who do you know that didn't resonate? I mean, there are people who didn't like Harry Potter.
Yeah, there are people, right, that just liked, you know, there are people that, let's just say on a degree of love, right, versus liked, right?
Yeah.
Like the movies, oh yeah, great books, you know, definitely amazing kid. And then there are people that are like, no, this was part of my idea. I made certain choices in my life because some of the lessons and feelings that I drew on and wanted to experience when I was older.
Yeah.
And I made those decisions as a kid. I said, dude, I want to go live in other countries because of the way I feel watching these characters live their life in another place. And then I did.
Yeah.
And it actually translated to the more and more patterns I see in my life, right? Well, and so it clearly influenced me deeper than a lot of folks. And I question why.
Why? I think it's because you're a natural seeker.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of your, I would say it's probably a part of your personality or part of the essence of Thomas. And you're also, I believe this about all artists, is that I think artists really get a good resonate with the hero's journey in general.
Hmm.
Because it's like, there is such a thing about being an artist where it's like you are fighting, you're on a journey, you're fighting battles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you are asked by whatever force you want to, however you want to call it, but in a way you feel asked to be bold enough mm-hmm. to state truths
yep.
that some other people don't want to say. They don't want to go through the process of looking incapable.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or a beginner in certain ways. Mm-hmm. There are some people that, you know, will not go there, but there are some that said, dude, I have no choice but to get this out of me. I have no choice but to say these things through my medium or through my art. Like yeah. this is my contentness and the validation of my existence is through expressing myself in these forms, right? I'd feel dead if I didn't, you know? And I think that's
the truth.
I think it's another day that we discuss whether that is instinctual to a person at their birth or it's something that is somehow taught or instilled in them by human force, you know,
creativity.
Forces. Yeah. Yeah. And just the identity that you are the provider of, you are the teller of truth. You're a truth teller. You're a storyteller. You bring your identity into the world and you can't not do that is the feeling that rests in your bones, you yeah. know?
I think it's instinctual.
You think it's instinctual from very birth.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I say that because of this vocal work I was doing where it's, you know, I don't have to go down that rabbit hole, but I do think that we're built for that. I just think we're built for that.
Yeah.
I think it gets dampened. I think from family, from society. And I'm not someone who wants to say like, oh, bad society all the time, but society, the current one we exist in isn't, you know, as supportive of yes. creators as it could be.
Yeah. yeah. So you think that, you know, potentially everybody has a thread or part, a piece of either storyteller, truth teller, artist, in them. And that it's certain folks.
It's chipped away at.
Yeah. Certain folks make it and it becomes indispensable to them.
Yes. Yes. And, mm. and you know how I know this, you know, think back to like middle school, high school, like there were so many, I was thinking about this the other day, like there's how many amazing human beings I knew, in high school, where maybe some of them were a little delinquent in a way or whatever, but they had these beautiful ways of seeing the world that were like kind of radical mm-hmm. and very artistic in nature and how, and then they become real estate agents.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a real estate agent.
Sorry. No. I mean,
no,
but you're taking the time. We're sitting next to a drum set.
I have a real estate license, everyone. I just want to clarify.
I'm considering getting mine as well. So I'm not wholesale. I'm just saying what happens to that.
Yeah. Yeah, they lose something.
What happens to that?
It is a fascinating thing. And I think it's far more neurological. I think there's more biology involved than we realize, that the brain changes for purposes of survival and reproduction in ways that we may not understand.
That's true.
You know? Less nurture, you know, than we realize. I think that, meaning there are forces that just change within the body that we can't control or understand, and it dampens. And then there's your argument, which is that society somehow influences the individual and they lose that sense of wonder or truth teller or questioner or
crazy.
Seeker.
Yeah, or just artistic expression.
Yeah, sure.
The counter argument to that is, what happens when some, you know, suit finance bro, and I'm not, you know, people are going to hate me after this interview, but what happens when they go to Burning Man and then they decide that they want to be, you know, a dance with fire and like, you know what I mean? That happened to Joseph Gordon-Levitt's brother, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
His brother was like, you know, kind of a depressed older dude and then went to Burning Man and became one of those fire dancers where he's like dancing with, you know, putting swords down his throat and all that stuff. Like, I don't know. I just don't think it goes away. I think that I totally hear you on the nurture thing, that our brains do change and we become like, all right, I think our biology kicks into like, all right, it's fatherhood time.
So survive and reproduce.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Start doing that thing.
Yeah.
That's real. But I think, you know, this is that Seinfeld, Tim Ferriss interview. One of the things that Seinfeld talks about is like, he's so proud of himself because he's 60 something, 66, I think. And he's still going and almost like, 99% of the people he started with just aren't in the game anymore. And that's how I feel about my art. And I think every artist should feel, if you are doing it, you're crushing it. Because you are fighting that fight to keep that wonder, to keep that thing that is so beautiful about humanity, and you're fighting to keep it alive. So I don't care. That's the thing. I have wholesale respect for any artist. I don't care.
Sure.
I don't care if I like their art or I don't, or whatever. Like, I just respect that people are trying to keep that alive. I think it's a beautiful thing, and I think it's so necessary.
Yeah, there's a nobility in preserving, almost in a sense, the purest human form.
Yeah.
Right? The longest serving facet of human beings.
Yeah.
For thousands, tens of thousands of years, right? And you are continuing that. You're providing strength and consistency to the human species.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. That's a great way of putting it, is that you there's a sense of honor, right, in carrying out who we are as people.
Yeah.
And you are channeling that. You are keeping it alive. You know,
and people love it, man. I mean, like, feeling like when you're on stage or you're connecting with people on Instagram who hear your music or whatever, it is a very valuable thing. And no matter what happens with it in the external world, no matter how much money you're getting, no matter what external value is being put to your music or your art, it doesn't matter. Like, you are just doing something dope. So like, be proud of that. And that was kind of what Seinfeld said about comedians. But I really feel that about artists. Like, I respect artists so much.
Yeah.
I'm in awe of so many people that make art. And
I remember somebody telling Jerry Seinfeld in like some interview or something, and they were like, it was in his show Coffee, Getting Your Car's Coffee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And boy, how lucky are we? to be doing and Jerry Seinfeld's like, are we really that lucky? I mean, we were the ones that put ourselves out there for year after year after year. Like, was it really luck?
Yeah.
Was it our choice and just refusal to fail?
Yeah.
And I thought that was actually a really good point, you know? Like, obviously luck helped, but there was far more substance to it before luck even was in the equation. Far more resolve. I thought it was a great response from him. Is like, agency was a factor, right?
In
his success.
You know what? I love that about Seinfeld, because sometimes he can, you know, I also resonate with him because he has some of the Jewish, like, kind of, you know, neuroticism in him.
Yeah.
Which is familiar to me. But he really defends that position well.
Mm.
That, like, I don't know. He's just he's a realist, I think. And I appreciate him for that.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, luck, but don't forget the capital C courage that went into this process.
Yeah. Yeah.
For years and years, despite feeling no sign of success.
And I think it's a rare thing that people see that. So I think that's something I try to focus on with is just like, man, like, to anyone who's doing it, I feel like I would prefer to give encouragement, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's rare when someone like sees that struggle and being like, yo, nice work.
Yeah.
Like, nice fucking work, you know?
Well, I think it boils down to the influence that you bring to the world when you channel your identity to the world through whatever medium, through whatever story, and you've made, like you're saying, whether in the physical flesh or whether someone that you've connected with in some way, you have heard from them, you have made them happy, right? You have made their days better.
Yeah.
You have brought something, a gift to them that they now hold a feeling. You've inspired them. You've made them want to change something about their life or think bigger about their life because of your influence, and especially just made them happy to keep it simple. You have done your job as a human being, and that's something that we as artists can hang our hats on, you know?
Right. That's a good way to put it. Like that's what you hang your hat on as an artist. And that's also what you hold on to when you know, like even in this COVID situation, it's like when times are rough and, you know, you hold on to that and you hold on to your love for the wonder of songwriting.
Yeah.
The wonder of creating when you are surprised by your own creation. You're in the middle of making something and it's like, whoa, I can't believe I just did that. Or that's not, you know, that keeps the train going pretty well.
Yeah. Well, here's to making other folks happy through what we do, whatever it is that you out there do or choose to do, because it is a choice, no matter how elementary it is in the beginning. But here's to that. Cheers to you for your work in making people happier too.
Right back at you, bro.
That's a wonderful thing. Well, let's keep it going. Thank you for a cool conversation on technology, social media, artistry, right? Yep. Human storytelling, Harry Potter, the wonderful and challenging times that we live in and the ways that we communicate. And that was a wonderful conversation, man.
That was really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope we can continue. We still have so many topics that we didn't even touch, but
wow,
this is preserved in and of itself in a cool and relevant conversation for human beings right now. So thank you, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, this is the Harps Collective. We will talk to you again soon. Good night. All right. Thank you so much for listening to that conversation spanning a few different topics around creativity, music, marketing, the digital world, the challenges of social media, and in general, our reality. I hope you enjoyed it. Please send any feedback you'd like. You can find me on Instagram at thomas.harpel, or you can send an email, thedenverthomas@gmail.com. It would be great to hear from you, and any suggestions are absolutely welcome for show topics on The Collective. Take care. Have a great night.